You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how by revelation he made known unto me this mystery, this sacred secret, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the secret secret of Christ, which in other ages not made known and the sons of men, as is now revealed in these holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or untraceable riches of Christ, and to make all saints, not men, all saints see what is the fellowship or the dispensation of this sacred secret, which from the beginning of the ages had been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last month or so, or several months, we've been dealing with the subject of the fact that God spake. As I've said several times, and I hope you don't get tired of it, so it'll be impressed upon your mind, this is probably one of the most amazing statements in all the Bible, that God actually speaks to man. When you think about the magnitude, the greatness, and the power of this universe, when you consider man, as the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Not only is he mindful of us, but he has spoken and is speaking today through his word. In times past, in many ways, in many different times, he spoke, as we see, number one, directly to men, beginning with Adam, up to and including Moses. And then, too, beginning by Moses through the prophets. And as we come to the New Testament, we learn of John the Baptist that all the prophets were until John. And then God began to speak to man in his Son. What a time that would have been, some of you say, to be here. And yet, as cold as our old heart is toward doing right and wrong, if we'd have been here then, we might have felt it was a real grind, because none of us have ever put under the law, and if that's what he spoke about. He came to none save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it might not have been as pleasant as you thought it would have been. He's speaking to us in a different tone of voice today. And then in number four there, the word was confirmed by the 12 apostles, by them that heard him. Again, it would have been a wonderful time to live. But I think we have something better than that. Then during Paul's early ministry throughout the book of Acts, Paul confirmed those things that were well known in Scripture, as he said in the 26th chapter of Acts, even that late date, as he stood before Agrippa and testified of his own conversion. He spoke of his witness that he had never gone beyond that which the law and the prophets had foretold. So he simply confirmed all the promises that had been given by Jesus, by the Old Testament prophets, by them that heard him. Paul confirmed them. Last week we began to compare a few things that obtained in the period of the Acts when those who preached that heard him We chose four things to call it to your attention. Namely, that in that period of time, the ministry that was held out to him was the hope of all the law and the prophets. In other words, what Israel's hope was the hope of mankind at that time. Whether he be Jew or Gentile, that was the only hope he had. There was nothing else revealed. And then that hope, of course, caused Israel to realize that the possibility of restoration was theirs. And then in that period of time, God manifested himself with supernatural gifts who were signs so that Israel would be without excuse. And in that time, the ministry is always to the Jew first. They had every advantage. Today, we are no longer proclaiming the kingdom that Christ spoke about, which is the millennial kingdom, which is not addressed to us, nor was it promised us. That's been put in abeyance when Israel as a nation in Acts 28 was set aside. No longer do we see the supernatural signs that were prevalent in the days of the apostles. Oh, I realize we have some counterfeits today, but they'll always have them. We have the Word. God is not going to speak again. He has spoken. When he wrote this final word, as given to the Apostle Paul, called the mystery, that sacred secret of God, which had nothing to do with those subject matters, but is something completely hidden. Not hidden in the Scripture, as we read in Ephesians 9, but hidden in God from the ages. And now, no longer does the Jew have an advantage. For it is written, Colossians 3:11, there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. God is not dealing with any nation. He's dealing with individual people now. And last but not least, it's all of grace. God has actually shut himself in. He has limited himself to that one attribute. That's why it's called a dispensation of grace. There's nothing new about grace. God has always dealt with grace of men, but he's also dealt with other attributes such as his wholeness, such as his righteousness, such as his judgments. But every one of you sitting in this auditorium this morning here are here simply because of the grace of God. No longer does the thunder of Sinai scare us, because we've been promised a place not in this earth here, but far above the heavens. This is the secret that God has held out to us today. This is what the mystery is all about, verse 6, number 6 on here. And it was no afterthought on God's part for us either. Because before any of the covenants, any of the promises were ever made, since they're from the foundation of the world, he chose us before the foundation of the world. That ought to grab you. I don't understand that, but I sure do appreciate it. It wasn't that he just chose us. As you notice in Ephesians, in the first chapter, he did not only choose us before the foundation of the world, but he chose to be holy and without blame. How can that be? When you look at the mirror of God here, how can it be that you can be holy and without blame? That's impossible. Why? Because you've died with Christ, Colossians 3. You've died with Christ, and your life is hidden in him. All that he is yours. It's what God has made him to be on your behalf. It's what he's made him to be in you, or rather you in him. He not only chose us before the foundation of the world, He not only chose us, but he chose us to be holy and without blame because of the perfection of Christ. And he did this, the marvelous thing, notice in verse 5, chapter 1. He did it according to the good pleasure of his will. That's amazing. Now today, in chapter 2, we learn in verse 15, perhaps we should read verse 11 with it first. And this shows our past condition and what God has done revealed to us in his sacred secret. Verse 11, remember that ye in times past were Gentiles in the flesh. You are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Here's that wonderful buts in the Bible. But now. But now. In Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh by the covenants of the Old Testament. No, not at all. But by the blood of Christ, who as a lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. We belong not to those covenants of the Old Testament, but we belong to those that covenant was made between the Godhead itself before the foundation of the world. That's how secure you are. You talk about a dispensation of grace, brother, that's it. Everything that touches your life is a gracious act on God's part. Remind me of what I mentioned. I think I mentioned this before, but you remember we had our brother from Houston here spoke, and he came to a life. He was down in Uvalde, Texas, down in South Texas. That's the end of the end down there. And he liked to starve to death. The little country town's a preacher there. He likes starved out. And he said, Lord, I know I don't have much to offer, but that'll be something. I got a little more to offer than Uvalde, Texas. And the Lord rebuked him about it. He said, well, you're bragging again. You haven't got anything to offer. See? And that's the way it is with us. When we think we got something to offer, we're bragging. We haven't got anything. Without him, you can do nothing. It's all grace all the way. Don't try to make anything outside of it. If you do, you're actually taken away from the efficacy of the blood of Christ. And that's an insult to God. Yet God's people do it, and because he's dealing grace, they get away with it. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps on cleansing. Those are all continuous action verbs. For us to enjoy the pleasure of it, of course, we have to acknowledge it. And that's why some saints got such long faces and always in trouble. They think that they really got something to offer God. They haven't got anything at all. It's an old piece of clay God picked up out of the rubbish. I'm going to show the whole world what I can do with this piece of nothing. And he's just about done it. When I look out this group, I'll tell you. You know, that's true. I hope you appreciate. And I am trying to be a little funny too, because I don't want to lie about it. But at the same time, I hope the mirth of it will so take a hold of you that you'll appreciate beyond the imagination of any man what grace is all about. And the beautiful thing about it is, notice that first verse of chapter 3 again, or rather verse 2 and 3 again. According to the dispensation of grace which was given me to you, how by revelation he made known unto me this secret. You see, God never said anywhere in history that he's going to have a dispensation of grace. He dealt with grace all the time. Adam got saved by grace. But he dealt with him in a very harsh way, too. He's not dealing with you that way. Even when the Bible speaks of us being chastened today, the Greek word has to do with the fact it's child training. He's not punishing you. He's trying to teach you something. Some of you got some hard heads. See, that's the thing about it. You have to learn the lesson. And before the sun goes down, you've got to learn it again. You remember when you were raising your children? He said, don't do that, and that's the first thing he does. These women talk about, refer to their little children as little angels. They ain't little angels. They're imps. And so, you see, that's the thing we have to realize. God sees us for what we really are. And the beautiful thing about it is, it's said so commonplace here. That's why I don't think we appreciate it. And you know, that little word mystery is a secret. What God's doing in your life is a secret. Oh, it is true. As you get older, you can look back and see His footprint. But you don't know what's going on. You may be worried about tomorrow, and you may not even be here. See? That's a secret of God. And He's not going to tell you. That's why it's a secret. If He told you, it wouldn't be a secret. He told you that it is a secret, but He ain't going to tell you what it is. And the beauty of that, you see, even our place of in the calling, it's just far above the heavens. Now, where in the world is that? I haven't got the foggiest idea where far above the heavens is. No more than I've got the foggiest idea where eternity is. I say words, and I don't really... the fact they were talking about that in the class this morning here. Would you kindly tell me what is eternity? Where time ceases to exist? I don't know what that is. I haven't got the foggiest idea about it. Nor I haven't got the foggiest idea of what it is to be far above the heavens. Again, Leland, you remember, gave a little demonstration here on the board about four dimensions. See? We only live in three. We can't get beyond that. We're talking about things in the fourth and fifth dimension. And that's why it's so hard for us to realize the superlative things that God has said to us. That's the beauty of investigation into your inheritance. And He once in a while picks the curtain up, gives you a glimpse of some little something in there, see? Talking to a brother that just last week, a man that Ben knows real well, he said, man, you mean to tell me that I'm not going to go out in the rapture? I said, no, you're not. God has something far better for you. You're going out and out from the resurrection. That's something that precedes that. Oh, where do you see that? So we went to Philippians. We spent about a half hour when he got through. He said, well, what is the out resurrection? I said, I don't know. I don't have to know. I know it's out from anything God ever had to say about the resurrection. That was all I know. I've been through the experience yet. Now, I think Paul uses a word that helped us to understand a little bit. And that little word that we mentioned before, the word departure, is, as I said before, it's two Greek words. Ana luo. Ana means above, and luo means to turn loose. And you've been walking around this body of death a long time. And that's what Paul cried out. Remember in the 7th chapter of Romans? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now you understand what Paul's talking about on departure. Time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to be turned loose. I hate to refer to an ad, but I noticed on it has to do with even beer. It says, turn them loose, you know. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. God's going to turn you loose. Because you're ready. And you do it just at the right time. I know one of our people here, his wife, in the hospital now. She just give up. She don't want to live. And I understand that because she has cancer. She don't think she can get well. Maybe she can't. Maybe God is going to take her home. But I guarantee it won't be ahead of time. It won't be behind either. No use fretting because things not going your way and say, well, what's the use? Somebody said to me, Mark, if you're getting the old lady, no, to retire. I said, no, I ain't going to retire. I'm going to be turned loose one day. David ain't going to retire, that's for sure. I'm tired. But there's nothing wrong with being weary in the work. There's a lot wrong when you're weary of it. We all get weary sometime in life and say, well, what's it all about? I remember I preached my grandfather's funeral. I went down to see him. He was 90 years old. He said, man, I don't know what I'm sticking around. I don't know what the Lord keeps me here for. He was living in that house all by himself. He was lonesome, I'm sure. I said, well, granted, you ain't got to worry too much longer. I know. As a Sunday, I got a call Wednesday night. He had a stroke. He died. You see, but you can't hurry that thing up. You got an appointment, and God won't be late. But then you're fretting about it. As long as you're here, you have one thing to do. And a single-track mind shouldn't be hard to operate. Although we got many things to do, but we only got one. And we've got to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. And we'll do that with the Word. Not talking about our accomplishments or anything of that nature, but talking about Him. And that's what this mystery is all about. It is the glory, the pinnacle of the manifestation of the Christ. Because as we read in Colossians, in Him are hidden all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're not hidden in other things. They're hidden in Him. It's as close as your breath to you. You don't have to go searching for it. As the old time Deuteronomy, speaking of the restoration of Israel, when that time comes, it's all in the Word for them how it's to be done. It says they won't have to go up to heaven to bring it down. They won't have to go to the depths of the sea to find it. It's near nigh unto you in the Word. So your life can be ordered only one way, and that's in the book. That little sign over on the wall over there that was burned in there by one who's gone to be with him. And Greta and her husband labored on these signs. And he, after Greta wrote the sign out, and he burned it in there. And that's the way to know how to live right there. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll cut your path. That's simple. You do that, start your day every day that way. If you do that and really mean it, for that 24 hours, God will cut your way. It probably won't be the way you intended it to be, but it's the way it'll work out. That's a simple formula. And yet you find men seeking out other formulas of all kinds. This is the way. Walk you in it. It's all here. The beautiful thing about that passage in Second Timothy chapter 3, when it says all Scripture is given God-breathed, is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for teaching. But the last verse says this is done in order that the workman may be thoroughly equipped. You got all the equipment you need right here. This is your foot. This is the equipment God's provided. And it's no use trying to get God to talk because he's already spoken. For 1900 years now, God has been silent. And men have been trying to have visions and revelations and everything else, in spite of the fact that in Colossians he tells us that this sacred secret was given to complete the Word of God. That's an amazing thing. And yet they're trying to find out something else. It's all here. And there's no use running around Robin's barn trying to find it because it's right home. There's a song you remember years ago, used to be a popular ballad, went something like this. You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, right in your own backyard. That's where it is. And yet people go out and spend thousands of dollars for football games, picture shows, televisions, and what have you. Of course, the television can be kept at home, I guess. But it's all at home. And you know, the greatness of this country, beloved, it was built around the home. And the devil has gotten us so sophisticated, so wise, we forgot that. I hate to refer to my boyhood, but I know how it was. You know, what was our way of life was we had parties at home. We went to each other's house. We had birthday parties. We had those sort of things, you know, went on constantly. But it was all in the home. It wasn't somewhere else. And the same thing is true with this thing. We don't have to be sophisticated and smart like the rest of the world. You know why? Because God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness. We got it all right here. And we got the pinnacle, beloved, when we realize that the mystery was given to the Apostle Paul. It's untraceable. It's untrackable. You can just work at it from now till doomsday. You'll never get to it all. It's something that the Holy Spirit has to do for you. And that's what our Lord promised. He said, it's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I'll send another comforter. And when he has come, he will take of the things of mine, and he will show them unto you. He will guide you into all truth. We got a radio program, you know. What's the question? Now, this shows the hunger of the heart. Because people call in and want to know what the Bible's teaching. And, you know, that's a tremendous responsibility on our part. Because so much of what we teach today is sort of bucking Orthodox Christianity. In other words, what we're really saying, and it sounds very arrogant, is we're right and you're wrong. And I know people don't like that stuff. No way. Because the pain of a new thought is the hardest thing that the human mind has to bear. That used to be on the headline of the Oklahoma City Times every day. They've degenerated too, you know. But that was a time when that was on that. Every paper that came out of the Oklahoma City Times, the evening paper, that was the headlines back in the back part, the editorial. I think I'll write them a letter about that. Ought to put it back on there. It's a good one. But we forget that. But our Lord here has given us something that is so superlative in its nature. Notice the words that he has laid out for us here in chapter 2 and verse 7. Not only in verse 6, of course, is the pinnacle of where we're going to be raised to, you notice. Let me say this in passing, too. By and large, the promises to us today are all in the past tense. If you notice the promises of prophecy, what are they? They're all in the future tense. Notice, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the super heavens, in Christ. He's not going to do this. He already has done it. And that has something in view, and that's what I want you to see in verse 7. not in the age to come, but in the ages. We talk about the millennial age ahead of us. That's only 1,000 years, beloved. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. Notice the superlative emphasis here of his wholeness, no. Of his righteousness, no. Of his grace. Why? Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He never changes his mind. You want to know how God's going to deal with you in the ages to come? With his righteousness? No. With his judgments? No. With his holiness? No. Deal with you in grace. You, in fact, are going to be God's showcase. Think about that. What a showcase you are now. That's what God's plans are for you. And your base of operation will be far above the heavens, whatever that means. And where you will be assigned, wherever it is, you will be a showcase, a demonstration of the sovereign grace of God. Because you do not come under any of the promises from the covenant relationships. You come under a relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which was before the foundation of the world. When he laid out all his plans, you were included in that. Not in those covenants to come, because there had been no covenants. Let those things take a hold of your mind, and they just boggle you down, that's all. Again, though, if you want to appreciate, when we talk about the love of God, and we talk about grace, what are we talking about? We're talking about the love in action. That's what it's all about. Sometimes people say, well, I wish you could get this burden off of me. What you're saying, in effect, is from God's intelligence, is that you're saying to him, don't love me quite so much. See, our little old finite mind is just a peanut thing. And we're talking about a mind that sees where time does not exist. Something else we know nothing about. Because everything in our life is gauged by that time period. And so we have to take God at his word. Isn't that awful? You got nowhere else to turn except the word. That's all. And that's why sometimes God puts you in a corner where you can't get out. There's nowhere else to turn. You got nowhere to turn, terrible, but the Bible. And you got nowhere else to go. David caught this glimmer of grace. When my mother and my father forsake me, when all forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Paul, in writing his last letter, Timothy, as he stood before Caesar, he said, all men have forsook me. But the Lord didn't. He puts us in these holes sometimes, not because he wants to punish us, but to allow us to see that he is faithful and he takes us out. Some of you people I have known quite a long time and been intimate with your life. And I know things about you a lot of people that don't know. I've seen you at your worst. And I've never seen you at your best. See? That's what's important with God, though, is your trust in the Word. And this is a lifetime effort, you see. And graduation day is the appointed day. That's what it's all about. Oh, I tell you, we could dwell on this secret from now on, but we're going to deal next week on 7 and 8, the future from heaven and face to face in eternity. We're going to talk about something we don't know anything about, but we're going to talk about it anyhow. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you chose to speak to us today as the Holy Spirit speaks to us in Christ, of the things of Christ in the written word that manifests to us the incarnate word. And we pray that our efforts here this morning will not be in vain, and we know they won't be. But it is written that your word will not return unto you void, but accomplish what you desire. Our desire to have it accomplished, Father, that we may be in perfect agreement with you. And we rest our case now into your hand, knowing that you'll do abundantly above that which we think or even act upon. And this simply because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.